following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Hey, buddy.
Yo.
How are you, man?
Bradford Anderson. I'm running around like a crazy man.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Dude, I'm doing what am I not doing?
I know.
That's the key. Work's been crazy. We've been working a ton, long hours, lots of stuff, lots of good story on the show,
yeah,
which has been fun with the whole, you know, dawn of day.
Right.
You know,
are you getting to the bottom of that, bro?
We're getting to the bottom of that. Really, really close. And then we just shot some cool stuff with I got to work with Jeannie Francis.
Are you gonna be her chief of staff or her security
hell,
detail? Are you
what you should be.
Yeah, right.
I'll be the security. You can be the chief
you'll
of staff.
Be the Port Charles Secret Service.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. So so yeah, we go on a little adventure together, which is pretty cool.
What? Are you guys like going on a romantic trip to Europe or something?
No, but we're going to do some investigating.
Ooh.
And we get to spend a little time together, which is amazing because, you know, she's in the dressing room next to me.
Right.
Or I should say I'm next to her because she's Jeannie Francis. And, right. And you know, I'm like, Jeannie, we got to work together. So I don't know if the whole building's bugged, but finally, you know, we get to do some scenes. So we had a lot of fun, man. It was fun. So look for those coming up here in the next probably 2 or 3 weeks. And then got some good stuff with my BFF, Laura, Carly. And then are you okay, dude? You got a hairball? What's going on?
BFF? Really? How dare you?
So, well, I don't know if I call you my BFF.
I know.
Just as a man, I don't think I could call you BFF.
Well, here's the thing. You know what you're not going to get from me is a complaint. If I, you know, like from Spinelli, I mean, from Bradford, you'll get all the complaints.
Yeah, I know. No kidding. Apparently.
Yeah, but I don't think Spinelli is going to hold your friendship over your head. Carly, however, would.
Oh yeah, she will. Until we die.
If she heard you call Spinelli your BFF,
I'd be dead.
You'd get raked across the face.
I'd be dead in this. Dead in my sleep. I'd be in Croton.
Yes.
No, not really, but yeah, really.
Yeah.
So we got some good stuff coming up, man. I've just been working a lot, you know.
Yeah, well, GH has taken some off time, you know. So we had the off week where we traveled, where we did our little Southeast tour, right? And then you guys have a week off for President's Day when the ill-fated Port Chuck tour was planned.
Oh man, I got to tell you, it's a blessing and a curse that. I don't say it's a curse, but you know,
right,
that we had that unfortunate. Those unfortunate events that we had to cancel Port Chuck. But man, I can't tell you, I need that week off so bad that it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing.
I don't know how we would have done it, truthfully. Like,
I honestly don't know, Bradford.
The logistics, I mean, that's why, you know, the logistics made it so that we couldn't do it. But then even if the logistics had panned out, I don't know how we would have done it.
I don't fight things that don't happen for a reason. You know, I'll try to push as much as we can to get things done. But if I've learned that if I keep hitting obstacles, you know, and I'm pretty driven and ambitious, and if I can't make it happen, there's a reason why it can't happen.
That's a great attitude, man, because sometimes you can really knock your head against a wall, and that wall is just not going to budge no matter how hard you hit your head against it.
I know it was not budging. And I'm just like, I just can't figure out how to make this work where it's not going to be completely painful and not fun for anyone. And, you know, and if it's not fun for us, then it's not fun for the fans. And then it's just not a good experience. But that being said, we have 2 weeks coming up, which is going to be great because I'll probably take one day off and then start other things. But no,
yeah, right. But, okay. what you describe as a week off is very different from other people's week offs, I think.
My week off is, you know, but I'm looking forward to that. What's going on up in your world, buddy?
Well, you know what? I'm excited because I think, you know, you and I are going to try to next week, while you have some off time, try to really, really branch out and get some guests and really have some fun. You know, we've had a lot of fun in the last few weeks talking amongst ourselves. That's been fun for us because we've got to talk about football a little bit, which was fun for us. Who knows if it was fun for you guys? Some people said it was, others said not so much. So that's been great, but you know, we love having guests and,
we're going to get some good, we got some good guests on the line. I'm going to start actually making calls this week to try to sort of lock down a couple. Maybe we can do a couple in one day, which would be awesome. And, it's going great. Everything at Podcast One, by the way, is going great, guys. A quick update.
Yeah.
Thank you for your continued listening, and it's going really well there. And we're just kind of not even – we haven't even scratched the surface yet
of what we want to do. That's something I wanted to say. You know, like people have asked, you know, why we haven't had guests lately. And, you know, as much as we are – you know, interested in doing this and having fun doing this, we have to, our schedule doesn't always permit us to do this the way we would like. We do our best. I think the best way to say it is we do our best every week. And sometimes it's by the skin of our teeth. For example, today is Tuesday. As soon as Steve and I finish this, I'm going to edit it and put it up. This is one of the ones that's kind of by the skin of our teeth. And we don't want to do it that way. We're going to try to be more, but our schedules are so erratic and, Steve is working so much on the show, which we all love. And, we're doing our best and we will continue to do our best and have as much fun as we can.
Sure.
Along the way.
I think that's what it's about, dude. We're having fun. Obviously, it's always great to have guests because we love the insight. I love, you know, hearing about just people and their stories, and I'm sure everybody else does too. But we have fun.
Yeah.
And it's a compliment that I get a lot, which I appreciate, is like, oh, you guys are so fun and we have fun. Like, we're sitting in the room with you guys and, you know, you don't always have to have guests. I know you always want to have guests, but you don't always have to, which is very sweet of people to say. Yeah. But I love guests and we love talking to people, especially people that we have relationships with, because we can kind of get in deep sometimes.
Yeah.
With Maurice and other people we know pretty well. So it shows a different side of them that a lot of times won't come out in interviews, which is cool.
Right.
We're excited. Next week's it'll be fun. We're going to get some good guests and we'll just want to go down to Podcast One, and they've been awesome to us, and it's just having a lot of fun, dude.
Yeah. So that being said, we have a guest this week.
Yes, we do.
We had a really wonderful, like, hour-long talk with our good friend Rick Hurst.
Yes.
And, you know, but he's in Atlanta. I'm in Sacramento. Yes. Steve is in Southern California.
Yes.
And we have this really cool program that records our Skype call, which you guys have seen in action. And right at the end of our hour, there was an error. And it looked like it bungled the file. So we re-recorded some other stuff. So here is our interview with Rick.
With Rick. And Rick said he will come back if it was an error and we don't have it. We got a little bit from Rick, but we'll do definitely another full podcast with Rick.
Yeah, for sure. So enjoy it. He's the best.
He is.
He's the best.
Yeah. Enjoy.
So, hey, everybody. We had a really lovely hour conversation with Rick, but we feel like we may have lost it. And
Bradford.
I know. It's the worst thing in the world. So we are going to...
I burned it out.
Yeah. Well, you see, Rick is a... we said this, Rick was born to be on a podcast because he is probably the most professional talker I've ever met. Have you ever thought about being like an auctioneer?
No, never.
No, no.
I don't even, that's the one time you won't get a longer conversation on that from me. No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. It was never, no, never zero. A consideration. So Rick has the distinction of appearing on every daytime show that is still on the air.
Still, yes. I buried some.
You think so? You think so? And the order of that is Days was your first. Is that right?
Yep. Days was my first.
Right.
Guiding Light was my second. Young and the Restless was my third. Boldly Beautiful was my fourth. General Hospital was my fifth. And then actually back to Bold and the Beautiful after that,
right,
for a couple of years.
Do you have a notch on your bedpost for all of these? I don't know. It just feels like
that is a weird question.
Yeah. 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 I know. You know what? Later on, you know, you always hear, well, for some people, you're like, oh, do you like bed scenes or love scenes? And like, I hated them. I was so self-conscious, especially later in my life. Now I'm just like, I remember there was an older actor on Guiding Light who used to hate them. He has to work with, had to work with Kim Zimmer, and she was much younger than he was, and he just never liked to do it. He was like, I'm past that time. Like when I hit 50 and I had to get in bed with Becky, not a bad thing, but I was just like so self-conscious. I was just like, really? 50? Leave it to 50.
I'm going to start more of them at 50.
Good for you, pal. Good for you.
I remember, Rick, you could build muscle. You had that ability.
Oh, no. No, I look back at what I used to look like. Not that I'm like, you know, gelatinous or anything right
let's
now.
Let's calm down, dude. It's not like you're Jabba the Hutt on a
couch. Right. No. But in retrospect, I mean, I was a 158. And I had about 7% body fat on me at my best. And that's when, you know, Steve decided, anytime Steve would do some sort of diet, like program,
yeah,
like invariably all the guys in the same age range, we'd all like follow suit, like, oh, I want to look that good. Oh, that sounds good. Because he's psychotic with it. Like the things that he used to, like the variances that he would go, like, that's why we make the joke about, you know, you'd always talk about, hey, what is it? It's fat fall. It's football and peanut butter cup time. I used to just feed myself. And then he turned around and he shed it. Well, guess what? Now you're not 50 yet, are you, Burton?
No, 48.
Oh, okay, good. When you hit 50, 40. It'll flip. Trust me, it doesn't come off as quick, and it's annoying shit. It's annoying shit.
It's, dude, I listen, and I'm not saying this. I'm the leanest I've ever been right now. I am feeling the best I've ever felt.
And you got company too, so I mean, that's...
Yeah, so it's amazing. But I'll tell you this about Rick. Listen, this guy, he'll dance for you, and then he'll kick you right in the mouth. Okay? So this guy should have done Roadhouse 2. This guy would have been the best freaking guy in Roadhouse 2.
Oh, my God.
The front kick your face. I love it. He was a martial artist, and he could dance. So it's like, this dude was, I mean, he'd like do a little dance move and then like spinning back kick me. It was amazing.
Yeah. It was,
Where did this dance training come from?
School, man. When I first started out, I was, it's where I met my wife. I met her in the University of Texas at Austin. She was in the dance department. Actually, we were doing a show together, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I was playing Joseph. She was in the dance ensemble.
Wow.
She was a modern dancer. They call it modern then, it's contemporary now. And, I just was, you know, completely taken. So I wound up, you know, I was taking dance anyway, because as a musical theater queen, you have to do that.
Yes.
You know that, Brett.
Yes, I'm fully aware.
Yes. Yes, you are. And so I just started taking more dance. I was taking modern class and I fell in love with it. So, it was great. Now forget it. I can't get the, as we say, I can't get the leg up anymore. No way.
Well, that's okay. You can still do, you can do a great soft shoe. You don't have to kick your face doing a soft shoe. Yeah, no, that was one of the reasons I fell in love with my wife. She could kick her face. It was great. Yeah.
Okay, calm down, Bradford. Is your wife out of town or something, dude?
No, she's in the next room. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank God. Amazing.
So, and now your boys, didn't one of your kids studied musical theater for a little bit, right?
Both of them did. Yeah.
Both of them did. Yeah. I mean, it's in the family. It's in the genes.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, they're much better at it than I am. Cameron went to Boston Conservatory.
Right.
And he actually fell in love with dance more when he was there. But as an MT, you can't cross pollinate. You can't go to the dance department.
They're very like, no, go to
the dance department and you're an MT. And he's like, no, but I want, and he's actually choreographs while he's here. He teaches dance when he's here.
Oh, that's
nice. Yeah. But he's a quadruple threat. He plays piano. He sings, he dances, and he acts. Nicholas sings, dances, and acts.
I'm wow. an awesome dude.
And so are you in regular contact with Natalia on, like, how often do you guys see each other?
Yeah. I just saw, we did a film together. A faith-based film called Full Count. And of course I played the bad guy.
and that's a bad, I love that.
I was the detestable Southern, deputy sheriff.
Nice.
And it came out pretty good, you know, it didn't suck. But we went to the screening the other night, on Wednesday, and, it looked good. So they're, now they're looking for distribution on it and whatnot. But, it was great. It was one of the most fun, the nicest sets, film sets that I had ever been on.
Right.
Wow. But it was really pleasant and, you know, it was run very well and everybody stayed, it was on time and everybody worked hard. Jason London, Pink from Days of the Confused. And this young kid who's actually in my class right now, John Paul Cartos, brand new kid, but got a, you know, one of those kids, you look at it and you go, Jesus, he's got that quality. He's on screen. You just can't take your eyes off of him. And he's rough around the edges, but he's so willing and so eager and so invested that I just love working with him. So he started taking my class recently. So
That's tremendous. Right.
Dude.
It's cool. Yeah.
So cool. And you sound like you have an amazing balance between your kind of entrepreneurial family business, your creative outlet teaching, and whatever other opportunities come your way.
Yeah, I think at the point, the biggest lesson that I had was, you don't have to accept everything into your life, but you have to be open to everything.
Yeah.
You know, and the more I try to keep that, trust me, it gets very, very crowded in here. And I always have a lot of balls in the air, but I honestly feel like since I've been here, I was able to, as the casting director that I had dinner with when I first decided whether or not to come out of here said, you can start things here. And I've started a lot of things here. I've started a family business that really helps celebrate my mother's cooking and also provides income for her in her retired years. It provides jobs for not just my children and income for my family. It also helps my students, actors who are constantly out of work, who need, to be fed, because that's, of course, what we're all about. And B, they need to be able to pay their bills. And so I get a chance to help that. And then my wife, Donna, she's a Pilates trainer. And while she was in L.A., you would think, oh, you're going to do amazingly there. Well, it was kind of finite. You know, there's saturation here. Here, she's tripled her business.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, it's amazing.
So it's good. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. I feel like I'm never sitting still, which I have to be very conscious of and try to. Check myself or other people actually have to check me. It's a very, very full life.
Right.
I wouldn't change it for the world.
You can't ask for more than that, right?
Well, I do miss being in LA at times.
You probably miss Maurice more than anything, right?
I do miss going to set. And seeing everybody because regardless of what bad, good, and different story, it was like, you made it not the best that it can be. You made it as good as you could. Right. And at the end of the day, you let it go, but it's really about being able to hang with everybody there.
It becomes more about the people than it does. Obviously it's always going to be about the work, but it's about the people too, you know, and that's the camaraderie we have and just hang out in the halls and BS. And, we just had so much fun, man.
Well, you're in the trenches together a bit, right? I mean, that's an overstatement obviously, but you're confronting the challenges together, you know, cause every workplace has challenges and just like ours does. And you're trying to create something that is a living, beautiful thing and doing your best to do. And there's camaraderie in that. And there's and a real sense of accomplishment as a team when it goes right.
Yeah. When it goes right. Absolutely. But you got to learn trial and error. And I honestly think that daytime is new. You don't learn in any other place. We all know going to other jobs, going to other gigs, all of a sudden you have an ability to just light on. You're ready to go.
People
are just like, wait, I need like 3-4 takes to warm up. Come on, let's go. And directors and directors just look at you and go, okay, cool. I don't have to worry about him.
More
he's
of that,
great.
Please.
You know, when I was doing Dynasty, that was like, it was awesome. Norman Buckley, the director at the time there, he was like, told me one or two notes, boom. And I kind of figured it all out. And the cast, when you start working with established cast, they're just like, well, who's you? Like, I worked on Vampire Diaries and Ian Somerhalder. He literally, at first, you know, he was very funny. He first time I met him, I had a show up the day before. And here's a funny thing. You had to actually meet with their acting coach. To which I went,
really?
Wait a second.
Oh yeah. No,
really?
You have,
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I got the job. It's like, yeah, the acting coach wants to meet with you the day before, just kind of go over the scenes. I was like, you know, again, I was like, oh, I don't know, pretense about me, whatever.
Sure. Great. Cool.
Get a chance to work it a little bit more. Fine. I go there. I did it once. And she was like, oh, you're fine. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, no, no. She goes, we get sometimes here, we've get some people that are not quite,
yeah,
as depth, and I'm like, oh, okay.
They
and
look like vampires, but they need to learn.
Oh, what it is they're beautiful.
Well, sure.
And
that's what I meant. All vampires are beautiful.
Yes,
sure.
So, and I came out the hall, and I was about to leave, and I saw Ian walking through, and I you know, much like I did at GH, I was like, hey, I'm going to be working with you. I was like, hey, man, how you doing? My name's Rick Harris. Nice to meet you. I'm going to be working with you. Hey, man, good to meet you. Cool. Right. And then I was talking with somebody else, and then he passed by again, and he goes, all right, dude, I'll see you tomorrow. He goes, don't fuck up.
Amazing.
And I was like, but I went, I know what that is. And I was like, cool, good. I welcome that. I was like, good. He wants to, he's looking to play. Well, I found out that he Googled me. I had, you know, cred. So when it came in, he couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah.
Like, we had such a bump that time, and playing around with the director, and it was really cool shit. Like, I drowned on TV and all this kind of stuff, whatever.
Wow.
But
that's more fun. That's fun when you know your acting partner is coming in there to play rather than just be like, oh, I'd rather be somewhere else.
Yeah. No, I mean, he was so cool. Sure. He was showing me, he did a documentary, called The Years of Living Dangerously. He actually produced it with James Cameron and Schwarzenegger.
Oh, wow.
He was talking about showing the pictures of him and Cameron down in the 300 feet below the surface in his sub. Like,
oh my gosh.
And I was just like, I'd freak out. I'd lose my mind. Are you claustrophobic? Are you guys claustrophobic?
I wouldn't do that. That wouldn't work for me.
No fucking way. Can't do it.
No way. No.
Give me water!
I'd be on so much medication, I wouldn't even know I was underwater.
Yeah, no way.
Do those submarines come with a full kitchen? That would be.
Yeah, and maybe a quiet.
Bradford, yeah, he'll be drinking underwater. It'd be amazing.
I know. Yeah. When you're under that many tons of water pressure, does it affect you differently? I know when you get drunk at altitude, it affects you. When you get drunk in a submarine, does it affect you?
Yes, it does.
It does. Yeah. Have you tried that out?
I've been.
No, he's not.
Well, they tell you when you scuba dive, don't be drunk.
Right, but I wonder if the submarine,
because you go down, because the further you go down, you get nitrogen narcosis.
Oh, I see.
You already get loopy.
Is that oh, so that's cool on its own?
You'll fucking black out.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
This was the best PSA announcement. When you scuba dive, don't be drunk.
Make sure
leave the Chianti at home.
Yeah. When you scuba dive, don't be drunk.
Amazing.
That is funny.
Yeah. So, do you guys have you know what you need? I have an idea. So, with Nana's Family Kitchen and wine pairing, we need to do do you guys do that? Do you guys do a dinner where you can pair with wines? Because if you do, I'm flying out.
Everything's good with wine.
Well, sure. But I mean, like a little, little Italian wine pairing, little, you know, Sangiovese, you know, just, I don't know. It could be.
You know what? I don't know enough about wine to really recommend on that basis.
Sure.
I'm a cheap guy. You know what? I drink. I don't know about you. I'm a 19 Crimes guy. And that whole line of, you know, $8 to $9 wine.
That's the great price point. I love that.
It's the best, you know, blends have become the best thing for me.
Oh yeah. Dude, absolutely. When I drink my Strawberry Hill, it's so awesome. It's so good. That blend is perfect. That's perfect. Bradford Spring is around the corner.
Yes.
And you know what that means.
I sure do, buddy. My wife runs to the mailbox every day waiting for the new spring FabFitFun box.
I mean, we've been having a lot of success with this FabFitFun box.
Oh,
I got to
awesome.
Tell you.
It's awesome.
It's a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty. Well, actually, usually I start with fitness, mm-hmm. beauty, fashion, and lifestyle products. Sign up now to receive the upcoming Spring Box.
Spring Box, amazing. The Winter Editor's Box was tremendous. So just imagine what's to come this spring. But don't wait, because like every box, the new Spring Boxes will sell out.
That's right. Again, it retails for $49.99, and there's always great value in there, usually over a couple hundred bucks at least.
Amazing. Yep.
Use the coupon code AWESOME10, AWESOME10, for $10 off your first box at FabFitFun.com.
Our awesome code, again, is AWESOME10, AWESOME10, at checkout for $10 off your first box at FabFitFun.com. So if someone was walking through a farmer's market in the Atlanta area, where could they find you?
They can find us at several farmer's markets. Not quite yet. Season starts pretty much at the beginning of April, but they can find us at the Brookhaven Farmer's Market. They could find us at the Sandy Springs Farmer's Market. We're supposed to be in the Dunwoody Farmer's Market. This is all on Saturdays. And then we do the nice. Cobb County Farm Bureau Farmer's Market on Tuesday nights. So, and they could just go to the site, and if they need something delivered, and if they're in the Atlanta area, we deliver orders of $75 or more. We deliver free.
Wow.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah, so hey, you can literally get a whole, you
know. What about your acting class?
Where my acting
that?
Class.
How do you find that?
You go through that. You go to actorboutique.com, and basically you'll connect up with Angie, who's Natalia's administrative assistant, and she will ask us some questions. Right now, I'm teaching the advanced students, so they got to have a resume of some kind. They have to have had some kind of training. I mean, I've worked with people that are super green. There's a lot of them here because the film industry is, you know, booming. Sure. Everybody wants to be a star, and you kind of go, yeah, bye. I don't have while I good for you. If you, this is something you've always wanted to do in your life, that's great. I that's a different conversation, and that's kind of like a 5-minute conversation as opposed to an entire 2.5-hour class. So, I teach that class. They'll submit their resumes. I'll take a look at it. And then usually I have people audition for me, and then they come in, and it's a 2.5-hour long class. It's scene study based, obviously, but with the focus of, you know, how do you take being an actor and doing it on camera? What are the subtle little things that you have to deal with? How do you create action and activity in stillness? Mm. You'd be the perfect one to talk about that. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
You should come in, Steve, and do a weekend workshop on staring.
Yes, yes.
That's right. Or you can do a weekend workshop with Bradford, where he can never be caught on camera because he flails around so much.
Where am I? Where does he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go?
The jackal! Jason, where?
Bradford, stay in frame.
Yeah, right.
Stay in frame.
Oops.
But Bradford, can you quit hopping around, please? You're on crack. Is the jackal?
I thought we were in a master.
Rick, it's so good catching up with you. To our listeners, this is if we missed out on the full catch up with Rick, Bradford's going to jump off a building. But
yes, he is.
If not, so this may just be a taste of Rick. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it Rick back. Some other time.
Sure. Yeah. So, but you look great. And
Rick, you're the best, buddy.
Your energy is you're such an individual, and we love you, buddy.
Thank you, guys. You too.
All right. Be well. We'll talk soon.
Give my best to everybody. Give my best to your wives and your kids. And
you too, buddy.
You guys have an awesome rest of your week. And remember, Atlanta.
I know.
Open invitation, dinner. You bring the wine. I make the food.
Love
All right.
Love it.
And Rick, one more thing. Don't mess with Texas. All right.
Don't
I'll
mess
see you
with
later.
Texas.
All right, buddy. All right,
buddy. All right. See you, bud.
Bye.
All right.
Mean tweets.
We'll have some tweets. So we.
You got some good ones?
I think so. So first of all, it was great talking to Rick.
It was great talking to Rick, man. I love Rick.
He's awesome. We had some computer trouble, so we may not have been able to share with you the full episode with Rick talking, which, you know, we were so excited to have him on because we know how great of a talker he is. And in this medium of podcasts, you got to have somebody that's a good talker. You know,
he's a talker, man.
Well, because you ask, you know, when you ask somebody a question and then they answer it and then wait for you to ask another question, you know, it can get a little monotonous on podcasts. And with Rick, he's always segueing in a wonderful way.
He's amazing. Yeah. We love Rick.
Yeah. So the tweets this week, our boss always likes to share storylines with people, and it's awesome. It's for publicity, but people think, people think that they need to share their opinions with him. He doesn't read his replies though. So your replies really just get filtered to our mean tweet segment. So thank you for that.
That's awesome.
So Frank's tweet was Spinelli and Jason give Sonny the ammo he needs.
So we give him what ammo were we giving him?
I think it was about DOD for Christina.
Oh yeah, it was Dawn of Day. That's right. Yeah,
but I don't think we gave him that much ammo. Truthfully, I think it was the day that we came in, and I remember I came in and I was like, "Hey guys, I got some information," and so then I tell you,
and then you had nothing,
and then I say, I actually didn't get to learn that much. That's the information.
Guess what, guys? I know nothing.
Guess what, guys? I'm here to tell you that I have nothing. But so the initial tweet was Spinelli and Jason give the Sonny the ammo he needs, and Tori replied, "The ammo to kill themselves."
Oh my gosh, dude, that's messed up, Tori.
That's
crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes, I mean, here's the thing. If there's a storyline that you as an audience member are not connecting with, sometimes those go on longer than you might like. If you love a story, you might be thrilled that the story is going on for a long time. However, if you are not enjoying it, the longer it goes, the more dislike you probably have for it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Wow.
The next one, Joanne says, don't care about the aging mobster.
So we're naming people now.
Well, I'm just giving them the first name. I'm not giving the handles.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now you've crossed the line. Now you're actually.
Yeah, it's all right.
Naming people.
Well, it's okay. Cause I'm
they're
not
going,
doing last
they're
names.
Going, they're throwing, you're throwing them right under the bus.
Well, I'm not doing last names. I'm not doing handles. I'm just trying to give the point of view a little more personality, I guess. You know what
I'm
saying?
Well, I mean, they have their name on there, so they tweeted it. So go
totally,
ahead.
Yeah. Spinelli and Jason give Sonny the ammo he needs. Don't care about the aging mobster, the one-note hitman, and the cyber nerd at all. Do better.
Do better. But here's the great thing.
What?
Okay, the aging mobster, that's not nice. That's fine.
Yeah.
The cyber nerd, whatever you are. But she was right about me. I am the one note hitman.
It is a delicious,
and I'm proud of it.
Delicious note. It's a great note.
It's a beautiful note that I've made a career on. So I'll
stay in your lane. You found your lane.
Oh, not nice, Joanne.
Yeah. And then
I found my calling.
And Danielle just says, "Fugly trio."
Oh so, man, fugly.
Yeah. So that I mean, hey, I love. That means that you, me, and Maurice all have something in common, according to Danielle. And I've never thought that you, me, and Maurice had a whole lot in common besides great hair. So that's
great hair or gray hair?
Well, I guess both now.
Yeah, great. No, you don't have any gray yet, dude.
No, I do. But it's funny, you know, Rick, I'm not sure if this made it in. It might have been in the part that we may have lost, was talking about because, you know, he's a bit of a silver fox now. And
he is a silver foxy guy.
And he was talking about how his mom was his actual, you know, the person that would color his hair. And I was this close to asking, you know, did she help Maurice out at all? And if not, why not? Maurice looks good with a little salt and pepper, but they like to keep him.
Yeah, dude. He likes it gray. He would let it go more gray.
I know. It's probably not up to him.
Yeah, it's not really. Yeah, he would actually go more gray. I think Mo would.
Yeah, they like him. So. They like him being that jet black.
That's right. I like it too. I'm like, dude, dye that. Get that black hair, bro. Let's go.
Yeah,
you're Sonny.
All right. Yeah. So this is a question from Holly, and I guess it is for you, Steve. I don't think I have any. I guess I do kind of have a point of view about this. Do you feel like there is unfinished business between Jason and Elizabeth? Question mark. And she says from a biased liaison fan, which I think we could have guessed that anyway, Holly. But thank you.
Right. You know, I think again, I don't know if we told a lot of story.
Yeah.
But there's times where it felt like we weren't really together long enough. There was always obstacles all the time. So
right, which is not uncommon for love stories.
No, it's not uncommon. No,
but
it's not uncommon at all.
But sometimes you're right. Sometimes the story focuses on the challenges so much that you never get that kind of period.
Yeah, yeah.
To really dig in and feel like, oh, remember, because if you're gonna have a challenge, and you get whatever's the push and the pull. If the pull to stay in the relationship is just all challenging times, there's got to be some period of happiness so that when that period gets challenged, it means something.
Sure, sure. And I mean, Becky and I always had a great time. We love working together. So, you know, as far as today, yeah. I know she's with Franco.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I really approve. That she's with Franco.
Because doesn't she have one of your kids too?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So is he kind of the de facto father figure in that scenario? Right now?
Yeah, yeah, he is.
Yeah,
he
that
is.
that must not land too well for Jason.
No, it doesn't land too well.
To me,
Roger's not Franco. He's Todd Manning.
Well, there you
so
go.
I that's how I get over it.
Was Jake upset when you beat up his stepdad?
I don't think Jake.
Dad, you need to deal with your emotions a little bit differently. You need to take a deep breath. You need to talk about your feelings so that when you come up against someone that you have unresolved feelings for, you don't beat the crap out of them.
You're so angry, Dad. Stop.
Dad?
I know. It's funny, dude. I want him to be Todd Manning.
I know.
That's all. That's all I want Roger to be. Todd Manning. Bring Todd Manning back.
Yeah. I forget. What was Todd's business? Oh, no. He had. Well, no. Because I remember when he came on the show, he was Todd Manning. So he was like he ran magazines and stuff, right?
Oh, he did.
A newspaper. I think he was an editor of a newspaper or something like that.
Are there still newspapers?
In Port Charles or in real life?
Both.
Yeah, I mean, there are
is it Port Charles Gazette? What is it? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah. Port Charles Gazette. That sounds right. Port Charles Reporter, the Port Charles Times,
yeah.
Port Charles, yeah. The Daily Port Charles.
The Daily Port Charles.
Port Charles Daily. Yeah, I mean, you know, because for a while, Spinelli had a pretty strong point of view about you needing to be with Elizabeth because your first child was with her, correct? Right, children with Sam came later.
Yes.
Right. So, and
you're asking me time frame stuff, dude. I don't know.
No, I know, but I remember.
No, I'm not the greatest at this.
Well, that's my Spinelli's whole thing with his secret pain and whatnot. Like, your secret pain was, Spinelli personalized it because you know he was raised by someone that he didn't know wasn't his mother. He was raised thinking that his grandmother was his mother. And so when he found out later that that was the case, I guess my mom didn't want me and was nervous for Jason that Jake would find out later in life that you were his dad and would think that you didn't want him. I think that's why Spinelli always had this really strong point of view to push for Jason and Elizabeth. And also, who was the guy at the time? Was it Lucky? That was the
I was Lucky. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's hard not to like Lucky.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
He was a handsome feller.
Yeah. And speaking of Lucky, I know there's been a few, but we need to get Jonathan Jackson on this podcast.
I know. Gosh, we may have to Skype with him because I'm not sure if he's ever in L.A. So we have to figure.
We got to figure that out. Yeah. We always had fun, dude. Look, it's been we've had tons of great story. And I know there's very passionate fan bases on both sides.
Yeah,
so,
man.
We're going to continue to get along.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you still have you still have a connection because you have kids together. So there has to be some sort of relationship. I mean,
there should be. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm not sure.
I'd love to work with.
Yeah, because they're not. That's not a story that they tell very often, right?
No, I mean, I think you have some some good story there with both these boys, right?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So I just think
how old is Jake now? Did they age him?
I don't know. What is he? 10, 12, somewhere
okay,
in there.
But he's not, because they aged 12. They aged Cameron, so he's like 17.
He's 42 now. But Hudson's great. TK's great, man. I love to work with those kids, dude.
Yeah.
So much fun, man. But yeah, I think I should be in their orbits. And you know, we'll see what happens.
But that's interesting that they aged Cameron, but they didn't age Jake. Because weren't they like kind of contemporaries?
Yeah, I think they were close. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Dude, you're asking the wrong person.
No,
ages.
I know, dude. It's fascinating.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Well, and I know, but you know, I know our listeners might care about this stuff.
Well, they do care about it, but they're yelling at the radio whatever they're listening to. You're yelling at it like, don't you know what his age is? No, I don't.
Yeah. Well, it's also
I know Hudson's close to my son's age in real life.
Well, sure.
So that's how I know. And I know TK is a little younger.
Well, and also, you know, the actor that they get to play a 17-year-old might actually be 22. Right. So
that's true too. Yeah.
So there is. So when you ask us how old the character, or you know, when we ask that question, we may be thinking more about the age of the actor versus the age of what the
correct
character is. Because I mean, when I played, you know, when I started, I think I was supposed to be in college, and I was 26. You know,
yeah. And here's the great thing is I know more about those kids off camera, which is great, that I do know about them on camera.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I, you know, and hey, if my kid was an actor, which God forbid, but no, not God forbid, but, you know, being on a show, you know, being on a TV show, being a regular, you know, coming to work, I would want people like yourself and, you know, other great people that we have on our show to take an interest in them and, you know, to keep an eye out for them. Cause you know, the parents are here, but they're not with them at every moment of the day. And,
correct.
You know,
correct.
And so the fact that you take an interest in him is, I'm sure, really appreciated, by his parents and him also, right? Like, I mean, you know, as a kid coming in, that's daunting. And to feel like
it's tough, man. It's a tough industry for kids. And I feel that, you know, being able to be there, and I have kids, and I've always, you know, been pretty protective of them anyway.
Sure.
And everybody is too on the set, by the way. It's not just me. Everyone feels kind of the same way and wants to protect the kids and make sure they're okay. And they're great. You know, we work at a fast pace and they can work that fast. And they take direction well, and they're just really, really great kids, man. Really great kids to work with. So,
yeah. I'm waiting for Georgie. Is pretty soon my daughter on the show is going to be like in college. And
that's right, dude.
Yeah. She's going to maybe go to Oregon State, University of Oregon. She's either going to be a duck.
Is that the beaver or the duck?
A duck or a beaver, I guess, right?
That's
yeah.
Right.
Then she'll move to Port Charles. Maybe she'll take an internship at maybe Mommy's Magazine, if Mommy still works at a magazine. I'm not sure. That's a great way to it's a great way to introduce Georgie back into the fold. And who knows whether or not I'll come with her. All right, man. Well, this was great. Good seeing you as always.
Yes, brother. Awesome.
And we're hitting the road.
We're doing the dinner in LA in March, and then we're going on the road in April. Now we're setting the May tour too. So we got a lot coming up. So get on the email list at stonecoldandthejackal.com so you can be updated often on where we're going to be, so you do not miss us. Because
yes,
these shows are selling out pretty quickly, which is amazing. So thank you for that, guys. We thank you for your support always. We have so much fun doing this music and comedy. It's just, we're having a blast out there on the road. So check out stonecoldandthejackal.com. We appreciate you. And thanks to Rick for his time today. And we'll see you guys next week.
Awesome.
Hey guys, there's a podcast that I feel that you should be listening to. His name is Ben Greenfield, and you are going to love the Ben Greenfield Fitness podcast on Podcast One. I listened to it a ton. This guy is just knows his stuff. It's all science-based. It's the latest health, fitness, multi-sport research. It's not really the run-of-the-mill interviews. He has great guests on all the time about exercise and medicine and cutting-edge content from personal trainers and wellness coaches throughout the nation. It is amazing. I actually listened to it last night again. Download Ben Greenfield Fitness every Wednesday on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Imagine a world where animals and humans coexist in harmony, where wild animals thrive, habitats are protected, and marginalized communities are empowered. At International Animal Rescue, this is our vision. Our holistic, community-led projects not only rescue animals, but also protect and replenish precious habitats, creating a better future for us all. But we can't do this without you. Show your support now and help keep the wild, wild. Visit internationalanimalrescue.org.